Let's stand. Let's stand. We got two scriptures to read today. Isaiah 56, 3 through 8, and also Ephesians. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut out. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to you to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. And from Ephesians 2, he has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. Father, we thank you for this morning and a time to be together. Lord, right now we pray as brothers and sisters that you open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit, Lord. And in these moments, may your Holy Spirit mold us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I can't get the lyrics out of my head. I can't get the lyrics from the song "The Walk Home" by Young the Giant. I stated these lyrics a few weeks ago at the beginning of the series, and I'm going to close it out with these same lyrics to begin. And the lyrics go this way: deep in the algorithm of someone else. It's just a line that's like caught me and has almost been the line that stayed in my head through this theme as we look at what does it mean to be rewired and how technology can rewire us into one way, but how the Spirit wants us and desires us to be rewired into another way. And so Francis Haugen was a former data scientist at Facebook. And on October 15th of 2021, she testified at a Senate hearing of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Subcommittee. It's the one time in the last few years where Republicans and Democrats actually agreed on something. They agreed on a goal. And the subcommittee sought to understand how far and wide Facebook and to a greater extent social media platforms were and are forming and shaping us as individuals and as communities. Haugen provided at the hearing documents and studies which showed how new algorithms that were created amplified certain sentiments. What was found by Haugen and the documents is that social media's primary concern is to keep us, and this won't surprise us, clicking, scrolling, and posting on their platforms to keep us engaged as long as possible. And here's how they do it. By stoking and fueling hostility towards one another. J.Y. Kim says it this way: the social media economy is in many ways propped up and held together by this manufactured antagonism. Going further, Francis Haugen says, the engagement-based formula helps sensational content, such as posts that feature rage, hate, or misinformation, and allows them to travel far and wide. The algorithms that social media platforms have created reward and desire hostility. It creates a new boogeyman around every corner and confirms our worst fears of one another. Not to mention what a UK study showed, that in teen girls, there was an increase in suicidal thoughts, eating disorders, and poor body image when girls began to interact with social media content. And so maybe you see why we finished where we started, deep in the algorithms of someone else. Social media platforms desire to live rent-free in our head. All the posts, all the scrolling, and all the clicking sit inside of us and follow us, stoking our innermost fears about ourselves and others. And so our text for today speaks to a different way of being than what the social media world is wiring us towards. While the world of social media wants to wire us towards animosity and hate and even hostility towards one another, and that does feel like the norm these days, and over the last few weeks, we have looked at how this wiring has shaped us into a particular kind of person. It's a person shaped not by the Spirit's work, but by the working of our devices. It's a self not caught up in the freedom of Christ, but in the bondage of algorithms. And for many of us, it became even more real during the pandemic, did it not? When we were at home by ourselves. We did in some instances see the best of people. What we can't ignore is the veil that was pulled back, which showed a level of hostility, divisiveness, and unkindness towards one another. While we were by ourselves and apart from others, something happened to us. Something kind of got messed up in the wiring. Our society got caught in all these algorithms and in such a deep way that things became malevolent. I found myself this week reading stories of churches and ministers during the height of the pandemic, everyone trying to do the best they could do in the moment. I mean, does a church open? Does a church not open? What does it look like when it does open? How will we open and how will we keep everyone safe? All of these questions were swirling around the heads of ministers and leadership as they made certain decisions. And you know what happened? The church has now seen more ministers leaving ministry because of it. And it's not because of health concerns or immoralities. It's because of emails and direct messages through social media sent by others to ministers and leaders. And these were just a snippet of some of the things that we saw. You were a coward. I can't believe I respected you once. Stop putting your tail between your legs. You should be ashamed. We're leaving. And my favorite, there is blood on your hands. All quotes from emails and direct messages to ministers and leaders trying to do the best they can during the pandemic. Things that people would never say otherwise to someone's face. And this is what they're saying to ministers and leaders. And these quotes are not coming from a particular side. That's the kicker. These messages were coming from all sides. Deep in the algorithm of someone else, we become that which we could never imagine. We say things to others we could never imagine saying. We become wired to see everything through an us versus them prism. And kindness is left at the door when we can sit in front of a computer and say anything we want to somebody else because of something we read or something we saw. Our text in Isaiah and in Ephesians speaks to this very real us versus them algorithm happening within the community of Israel, and later, as we'll see, in the first century dynamic of Jew and Gentile. The prophet in our text for today speaks to membership within the community. Isaiah 56 speaks to this idea of what is membership going to look like within the community as the community, if you remember back in Isaiah 40, begins to come together and comes out of exile. What is it going to look like? What is God up to? Earlier in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in fact, both groups that are spoken of in Isaiah 56 and Deuteronomy are spoken about in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 23:1 and 23:3, both speak to who will be denied membership. Both foreigners and eunuchs never set foot inside the community. The people are them to their us. And yet notice what the prophet speaks of about both of these individuals in Isaiah 56:3 and Isaiah 56:4. To the foreigner joined to the Lord, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And that's what the foreigner is saying. Well, surely the Lord's going to separate me because of who I am. I'm a foreigner. I know what it says. I'm not allowed in. Look at what the eunuch says. The eunuch says, I am just a dry tree. I don't have a chance at all because of what Deuteronomy 23 says. They recognize who they are. They have been ignored and not even seen as one of God's desired ones because of their status or disregard for purity. Yet Isaiah says that God's algorithm is different than ours. Walter Brueggemann says it this way: the oracle intends to overcome every fearful limitation that is thinkable, that constitutes a human response for defensiveness and fearfulness. Every fearful limitation that is not grounded in Yahweh's own purpose and commands. Get this, and this is why we're about to read Ephesians. This is a mandate to open faith to Gentiles. Those which were seen as anathemas, us versus them, they were the them to our us, right? Never. And yet Isaiah 56 says, God's got a new imagination beginning to happen here. And now to our Ephesians text. The Jew-Gentile divide was palpable in the early church and before. We discussed it in the past. Jews did not like Gentiles, and Gentiles didn't much like Jews. This was the classic us versus them scenario in the world. If there were any kind of social media post back in the first century, one can imagine the vitriol that would have been spoken about those people. Don't be caught hanging out with that side, or you better not be found doing with them, because you will be on the outside looking in. Hostility and blame were passed around when it came to both of these groups. Unkindness and hostility is what we see. All we have to do is read the Gospels. Read the Gospel of Luke, in which Jesus, you know, is having meals with all kinds of people. And what's being talked about? Hey, what is going on with your teacher? Why is he eating with, you know, sinners? Them? We don't do that. It's there already. You can imagine if Facebook would have been there. Pharisees on Facebook posting about what Jesus is doing. You know? Jesus ate with a tax collector today. I'm not clever enough to think of something. Sorry. But notice what Paul says about what God was up to in the death and resurrection of Christ in Ephesians 2. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said in his writing about what God was going to do for those seen as hostile and those seen as enemies. The death and resurrection of Christ has put to what? Has put to death the hostility that has come. What hostility, might you ask yourself? Well, we'll jump up to Ephesians 2:15. The hostility between us and them. The hostility between Jew and Gentile. Through the death of Christ, the algorithm of hostility and division has been brought down. This move by God, talked about by the prophet, and as we read in Paul, is fulfilled in Christ. And what is generated is God's kindness towards us. Hence the shirt, be kind. God's kindness will lead us to repentance, is what Paul says in Romans 2. God's kindness is seen in God's grace, is what he'll write in Ephesians. It's the same kindness that Paul will describe in Galatians 5 as a fruit of the Spirit, as proof that the Spirit is working in those who claim to be transformed by Christ. You know, those who call themselves Christians. There is no alternative state we can become if we were caught up in the story of Christ. We cannot receive the benefits of God's kindness only to not be kind to others. You don't get the choice. And Paul seems to say, if you are who you claim to be, and you want and say, ooh, I love the benefits of the Spirit, well, guess what the Spirit's going to be doing to you, folks? It's going to be making you, just like the Spirit, kind to those around you. Every day we will choose what algorithm we live in. And we will choose how we encounter people. Every day our lives are a testament to Christ
or the other. Sure, we can try to rationalize our actions and our words, but here's the thing. Our words matter. Our actions matter. Our lives matter. The kindness Paul speaks to that comes from us is a supernatural kindness. It's not some shallow, condescending kindness. You know what I'm talking about. It's that whole bless your heart kind of thing. It's been said to you at some point, you know, oh, bless their heart. It's condescending. We know it. But it's a trying to like wrap a condescending and you wrap it in some kindness by saying that, right? But when my Nana said it to me, I knew I was in trouble, folks. This is kindness that is generated and manifested by the Holy Spirit that we claim resides in us. Kindness is not something we decide today, but not tomorrow. Or kindness for them, but righteous anger that leads to performative cruelty to others. You know what I mean? Well, because of this righteous anger, I can be cruel in such a way. No, you really can't. If God's kindness leads us to repentance, if God's kindness we see through grace, if God's kindness leads us to salvation, every moment in our life, God could find a way to not be kind to us, and yet Paul seems to think God is continually kind to us each and every day. Our social media feeds have this way of leading us towards an unkinder society as we deal with this reality of our technological age shaping us in some ways towards toward hostility to others and cruelty to others as we see it kind of ramped up in bombastic language and performance. Disciples of Jesus, you, me, and our entire community must stand as a bulwark against the rhetoric of the day. We have to. We must stand in resistance to the algorithms of the day. Our lives are the supernatural algorithm of what we talked about. Love, peace, and abundant generosity, and yes, kindness. We choose kindness today, we choose kindness tomorrow, and we choose kindness the day after that. And if the Spirit's in you, well, there you go. I was reading an essay by the late Thomas Merton in which he called, "He who is not with me is against me." And that sounded about right. But this is what he says. He writes in this paragraph, it kind of was like a 2x4 to the head. He says this, "Do not be quick to assume your enemy is a savage just because he is your enemy. Perhaps he is your enemy because he thinks you are a savage. Or perhaps he's afraid of you because he feels that you're afraid of him. And perhaps if he believed you were capable of loving him, he would no longer be your enemy. Do not be quick to assume that your enemy is an enemy of God just because he is your enemy. Perhaps he is your enemy precisely because he can find nothing in you that gives glory to God. Perhaps he fears you because he can find nothing in you of God's love, in God's kindness, and God's patience, and God's mercy, and understanding of the weaknesses of men. Do not be quick to condemn the man who no longer believes in God, for it is perhaps your own coldness, your own mediocrity, your own materialism, your own sensuality, and your own selfishness that has killed his faith." That stings. God's algorithm is different. God's algorithm resides in us. What are people seeing in your words and in your actions? Which algorithm is deep in you today? Because that one is the witness to the world. So maybe, just maybe, we can just hashtag be kind today. What do you say? Kindness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not some emotional lovey-dovey thing. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit resides in you, the same kindness that God extends to you daily. By the way, God doesn't write you mean emails and doesn't post mean things, right? No. What does God continually say? My kindness, my patience will lead to your repentance. My kindness will offer you grace today. My kindness is your salvation. So maybe, just maybe, people need to see kindness in us, in our words and our actions. Otherwise, what they're seeing could be something turning them off from Christ. And you can point the finger at them, folks, but you know what's always said about when you point the finger? I know it's old and corny, but you got three pointing back at you. Our technological age is trying to get us to be more hostile, to say us versus them, where God is saying, there's no us versus them. There's creation, and there's you being my witness so that we can all be in us. So be kind today. If you have any needs, we'll have elders up front. I'll be up front. We'll be here to pray for you, but come now as we stand and as we sing.